Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thanks. Forgive me. And thank you for being there on your post, praying and interceding and intervening on our behalf. We appreciate your love and your patience and your participation. We are rejoicing in the Lord and praising him for the opportunity to bring to you words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton, and this is a ministry of LFC Word Life Center, where our apostle, Shamet Houghton, is the pastor and founder and visionary that has brought us to this place of teaching and studying on our Friday fellowship. Her vision has brought to life our ministry on Blog Talk Radio that goes forth on Fridays and throughout the ministry. There are many Blog Talk Radio sessions to bless you spiritually. We are looking at Andrew Murray, Abide in Christ. Praise the Lord. We were asked some of our Blog Talk supporters if they will bring us prayer this morning. Elder,
Minister Pop,
could you bring
Minister
us prayer this morning?
Me or?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Father, we come this morning to thank you and
praise you
for this day. Thank and praise you for a new day of grace and mercy, a new day of your love, Father God. We thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and truth and understanding. We ask that you enlighten and open up our eyes and ears of understanding of abiding in your Son, Christ Jesus, on today. Father, we ask that you bless each listener, give them ears to hear and hearts to receive, Father God, and open up their understanding. We just bless you. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Pray that the connection is a good connection. I hear some weirdness going on. But praise the Lord. We got Ohio in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just thank God for all that come and assemble on our high fellowship. We are going forth in Abide in Christ, and it is built on the foundation of those things that we have talked about and shared in the past. The next seven words of Christ from the cross, the spiritual discipline that brought the power into the first church in the book of Acts. And that caused us to look at the ministry of one another and how bound and they bound themselves together as slaves to one another, having all things in common and giving to the furtherance of the kingdom, and how they set the example for us as to what our attitude and our mindset need to evolve into, needed to mature and be transformed into viewing others as high as we view or highly before ourselves, being selfless as Christ was selfless and gave all for us. And when we looked at that and we looked at that attitude and that way of living and thinking, it brought us to a place that caused us to look at the fruit of the Spirit that came on Pentecost to fill the members of the first church, and that they laid hands upon one another, and the Spirit was deposited in those that believed, and the Spirit was the empowerment for bringing about this change in their thinking. And we've gotten away from that powerful energy of that first church, the newness and the freshness of that hope that Christ had brought to the people of Jerusalem and Israel at that time. They had been oppressed. They were under the rule of the Romans. They wanted to be free. We were created to be free. We were created to be priests and kings. And so living in that type of environment was stifling them, and they cried unto the Lord, and it became fullness of time. When what God said he would do, he did, and he did bring forth his holy son. And so as that power and that energy that filled the streets of Jerusalem as he walked and he ministered for his 3.5 years and he touched the people and he caused them to have a hope out of darkness. He caused them to have a bright day that was birthed in their spirit. It wasn't in what they saw around him, but it was what was in the spirit that connected with their spirit. For we were created to worship. That's the environment that started to be birthed and come alive. And I think Apostle had stated at one point, it blossomed like a plant, like a flower in the morning. And as the sun comes, the heat and the light from it causes the opening and the developing of the buds and the flowers, and they bloom. And that's the way the people did. They bloomed, and they bloomed in such a way that they had all things in common, that everywhere they went, everything they did was all focused on this wonderful, powerful hope that brought this energy within them. And so they were able to do some of all of the things that we were commanded to do in the ministry of one another. And we look at some of those things in our spiritual handbook, spiritual discipline handbook. And some of the things, when we read it, we thought, well, no, I don't know, but it's not something we do. It's not something that has been part of our life as it should be. But I believe the Lord has given us revelation so that that which has not been shall be, because the light will shine and open our eyes to do things that we didn't consider before. But we're at a place now that spiritual growth and maturity is developing in us so that we can be what Holy Spirit is creating in us. And so from that we went to the fruit of the Spirit. We looked to see what was our life supposed to be looking like. You know, what are the things that were supposed to be coming out of us and coming from us, through us, to one another. And we had the wonderful assessment of, you know, do a popular phrase, a fruit inspection. And so we looked at ourselves as it related to the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know if someone can get us that verse, because that's what we'll bring into our remembrance in this session of the fruit of the Spirit and what that looked like and what it was supposed to look like. So can anybody get the scripture for us? The Word shares with us the fruit of the Spirit. Or antiquity. But have you done a fruit inspection? I'm going to go to one of the studies that we're doing with CTCI, where it lists this fruit that should be coming from our lives, and what it should, and that's the way Christ is revealed on earth. He said, "You will know them by their fruit. And that's what out of Galatians 5, 22-23. Galatians 5, 22-23. It is the nine fruit of the Spirit. And it's mentioned there as an aspect of the nature of God. And that's what brings us to our lesson. And the fruit is love. And love is the strength to put others first. It is the strength to be unselfish and to bear and endure all things. For love seeks not its own, but puts others first. And then there's joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. All of these things strengthen us. And as we will see in our lesson today, why that strength is necessary. But joy that creates, that cleanses, and heals our spirits of hurt and grudges and depression. A joy even strengthens us physically and gives us energy, literally, physically. That joy that we have of the Lord will strengthen your body and your mind as well as your spirit. And then the peace. The peace is the strength to be calm in the storm. It's not shaken with doubt or fear and the assaults of the enemy. Peace brings stability to our hearts and our minds. And once we become stable, the Lord, we're no longer like blowing in the wind. We're not one way today and another the next day. But it brings about a calm, a peace, and a power. And then it brings us to the long-suffering, which is the strength to not give up, but to endure difficulties, delays, and circumstances with the faith, a joy, a peace, and a love. And it's then accumulating all of these fruit and go bringing about this new man, this new creature, and a gentleness, which is the strength not to be tough and abusive to others. It is the strength to be calm. It is an outgrowth of wisdom. Only a strong person can be gentle. And a strong person whose strength is in the wisdom of God and the faith that they have in God, which comes to faith, which is the strength to overcome the world. Faith will cause the world to get on its knees before you. You will stand and believe no matter what it looks like, no matter how you feel, your faith is greater than your problem. And God is able, He's willing, and you have a trust in Him. And then meekness is the strength not to retaliate, verbally or physically. It is also the strength to accept our circumstances without anger. And that's a difficult place sometimes we find ourselves, circumstances without anger or a bitterness. And that meekness is just a surrendering of our spirit to the peace that has come from the joy that we have in the gentleness and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And then temperance, self-control. It's the strength not to indulge. It is the strength to control our passions and our appetites. It is the strength to bring about the death of flesh and the life that will come forth through our surrendering to Christ. And so we have those fruit. As we see the elements of the fruit, we can start to understand, as the author brings forth in our day four, we are on day four, as the branch in the vine. I am the true vine. Ye are the branches. So we again, the fruit and the agriculturally environment of the parable that God has given us about our relationship with Him. And He uses the natural that's around us so that we can understand the spiritual that He is bringing about in us. Any questions, inputs, insight, particularly about the fruit
and the development of the fruit and how that looks in our life as we have studied in times past. You are all eyes on the air. You can take your phones off of mute, and it's a fellowship. So share. There's sometimes a 10 or maybe a 5-second delay, but just feel free to share with us as we go forth. Amen.
Go ahead.
So as we look at day 4 in our devotional of Abide in Him, we are brought to from day 3. It says, trust Him to keep you. Or maybe we should review the days that have preceded us. And it's all taken from John 15 chapter, the 1st through the 12th verse. We've read it in the Message Bible, the Amplified, the King James version of the Bible. And I think we said the Amplified in the Message was the most profound rendition of this scripture. Someone would like to read it as we take parts of it out and study from it.
You say John 15, what?
You wanted it. Oh, go ahead. The first one. Yeah, 1 through 12.
He's breaking up. Oh, John 15 and 1.
Oh,
you want it from the Message?
Through 12.
You say?
Yes.
You want it from the Message?
Five.
Yes. Okay, I had the other Bible. Okay, John 15.
Okay, which one? The Amplified?
I am. This is the Message. I am the real vine. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He picks up every branch of me doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already prunes.
Okay, we can't. We can't hear you real well.
Yeah. Verse 4. Live in me. Make your home in me. Just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, it can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine.
Elder, we can hear you real good. We can't hear you real good.
Hello?
Yeah. Okay, that better.
You say you can't hear me?
Yeah, we couldn't hear
you
real good.
I know you're breaking up a little. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate, and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Verse 9 and 10, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. Verse 12, excuse me, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father.
Amen.
That was
Amen.
1 through verse 15.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you for sharing the word. And again, if the connection gets kind of weird, you guys just, you know, let us know. It's something going on with these phones and internets and what have you. But we will go forth and we pray God will, we pray that God will bless us. He knows technology and he knows how to bypass it. So we know that he can and he will. Amen.
Yes.
And so we read in that, and as we've gone through day 1, 2, and 3, day 1 was focused on the all who have come to him, and then day 2, and you shall find rest to your soul. And day 3 is trusting him to keep you. And then as we are today at the vine and the branch. And so we look at this connection. We read that the value of the connection as put forth in the in our base scripture is to bear fruit. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and what it's to look like and why it's to look that way. But one of the other things that I think is revealed in the elements of the fruit is the fact that that's where the strength of the branch comes from. It's coming from, and the author starts from the union, and we talked about how that engrafting looked and how it's bound up and how that connection is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so we are coming to where what is the relationship of the vine and the branch to one another. And the author is bringing into this play today the importance of this union. And he indicates that this union is a living union. It is not a stagnant or a sedentary union, but it is a living union, a union with a constant communication, he says, which I thought was interesting the way he put it. He says, this parable, so simple and yet so rich in teaching, gives us the best and most complete illustration of the meaning of our Lord's command and the union to which he invites us. So the Lord's command, what is the Lord's command? The Lord's command is what is going to be communicated from the vine to the branch as he bids us abide in me. And so we learned about the yoke and the oxen and how that union will bring about a learning on the part of the young one as he is attached to our big brother, as they would call Jesus Christ, as we're yoked with him. There are things that we're going to start learning about him as we walk with him. And so here this union becomes even the more intimate. That's like a walking alongside us. But here we see where there becomes a living exchange, from the vine to the branch, a living connection. And so the author goes on to say the branch, whether an original or engrafted one, is of such only by that the Creator is doing the work. In virtue, it says, in virtue of which the life, the sap, the fatness, and the fruitfulness of the vine communicate themselves to the branch. I found that I kept trying to go past that, but I had to keep going back and looking at it. And so this is, well, let's look up these words as the author has used them. The life, the sap, fatness, and the fruitfulness of the vine communicates themselves to the branch. And so then I realized that these are elements that are talking to us, that are communicating to us. And it's like, well, what are these elements? Well, first he says it's the life. And the life of the vine is the life of Christ. And the life of Christ communicates to us. The life of Christ reveals to us some very new concepts, a different perspective of things, a different insight as to what life looks like. So he's communicating this life. And then in the study that we're doing in Christianity, actually on page 45, it was interesting that it says the strength of a man or woman of strength can endure reproach of looking like a failure. And I thought, okay, well, that was the life of Christ, and it talked about it. His life wasn't one that people just kind of ran and embraced. He was born poor. He didn't have a place to lay his head. And then in this study, it says, as time, his life looked like a failure to the outside world. But it was necessary it's necessary for us to experience this, to have a fellowship of Christ's suffering. So in other words, to understand the life of Christ, we have to understand suffering. Well, nobody wants to understand suffering. We have to understand turning the other cheek. We have to understand meekness. It was even saying that, you know, Christ from the outside looked like a total failure, hanging on the cross. You know, he was mocked as saying, you know, you're so much going to save yourself. And that didn't look like a positive, successful thing. But this is the life that the vine is communicating to the branch. And it's saying, you know, this is going to be a new, different kind of life, because it's not going to look like the world sees life. Okay? It will look like being spat upon, being beaten, all of the things that were necessary for his journey through this world and what he had to bring to us, or the things he had to endure in order to bring to us, and we'll get to that, his fruitfulness. And then the next thing is the sap. And so I looked up sap because it's like, okay, I know there's something that oozes out of the tree. What is sap? And according to the, I wrote it down, the Free Dictionary, it's a fluid substance that circulates through the plant. And so it actually says it circulates through the vascular system of the plant. So that's like blood. That's like the plant's blood. And so he's saying that his blood has to communicate something to us, okay, as it flows from him, it covers us. And we have to understand what the communication is, because that's where we get strength from. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So we need to know what the blood does as it relates to the growth and the development of the branch as it's being fused and grafted into the vine. And then it talked about the fatness. And I go, well, what is that? It, looking it up again in the Free Dictionary, it says fatness is a celestial thing. And I thought, well, now that's interesting. It's good spiritual thing. It's a richness. At some point, they even relate it in Isaiah 55 and 2 in King James Version. I have that one here. I'll read to what it says. And again, this is all that the branch has to communicate to the vine, has to communicate to the branch. So it says, Wherefore do we silver for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfies not? Attend ye diligently unto me. I love that. Attend ye diligently unto me. Abide in me. and eat ye that which is good. Okay, that's what's going through. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. In other words, so that's real things. And those things that are holy. And then Jeremiah says, I will fill the soul of the priest with fatness, and people shall be saturated with my goodness. Jeremiah 39:14. That saturation, that flowing, going through, that's the, it brings to us the celestial, spiritual good thing, God. Now, they don't look like a good thing to the world because their meanness, their gentleness, their long-suffering, none of these things appear to be pleasant things you pray for. You don't pray for patience. You don't pray for, you know, long-suffering. They're not the thing that, you know, this glorious world would call fulfillment to be desired. And then in Psalms 36, 8 and 9, they are filled with the fatness of thy house, and thou makest them drink of the river of thy deliciousness. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy light we see, in thy light we see light. And so here it's talking about that actually love, and it says your fatness and the fountain of life signifies the celestial, which is of love, and the river, which is a light, which is of faith. So this fatness is what is going to bring to us faith and love. Again, all the elements of the Spirit. And then it says, and the fruitfulness of the vine communicates this to the branch. And so it communicates the fruitfulness being the fact that it is what is produced when this flow of communication takes place. And this takes place because the bond of union is established as the vine communicates its life, its path, its blood, its richness, its principles, and then result those principles to the branch. So though we're yoked together, we're learning of him, then we're bound to him, and then he is becoming a part of us. And so the author is extending our picture, the visual that we have of what this process looks like, or rather, what this proposal looks like, what this invitation looks like, and the just like the invitation, and on it, it gives you all the things that's going to happen at the party. You know, there'll be food, fun, and fellowship, and whatever, and giving you some of the details of what's going to go on when the invitation is received and accepted. And then when we come as a result of the invitation, the things that we can expect to be shared with us in fellowship, in that coming together, in that union, in that intimacy, in that bond. All right. Like I say, this is private fellowship,
yeah.
And as you read, you know, this, especially the first guest, what insight in
as I was reading,
you as you read.
As I was reading that passage this morning, I was, two questions came to my mind as to, you know, when you come into fellowship with the Lord, I don't think we really think on this passage of scripture as the writer has brought out. I know I didn't. I read it numerous of times, but it never stood out like that to me. And the question which came to man was, how do we view Christ, and what's our expectation in our walk with the Lord? So sometimes, I think I said last week, sometimes when we are introduced to him, we're only introduced to him as to one that can do things for us, you know, or that can bring us out of this and give us that. So therefore, we miss important elements of our, or which important elements which will grow our relationship with him, and that is of utmost importance. So I appreciate the study and the writer in bringing this out and explaining it in the manner that he has done.
Amen. And I, you know, when as you were speaking, and the writer often causes me to have questions. And as you did, I write them in the margin. You're like, okay, but why? And it's going to all point back to us. We are the reason that we didn't know. And he goes on, as he goes on into his sharing, without me teaching you nothing. And we get that. We get that, and we teach us, we taught you to do all things. And without him, we can do nothing. So as he goes on, though, he brings another aspect that I had never considered. And that is, he says, such wonderful condemnation of the grace of Jesus, that just as his people are dependent on him, he has made himself dependent on them. Without his disciples, he cannot dispense his blessing to the world. He cannot offer sin the grace of the heavenly Canaan. It is his own appointment, and this is a high honor to which he has called us, as indispensable as he is to us in heaven, that from him may be found. And sometimes the author just, it's like, okay, but what he says, as indispensable as Christ is to us abiding in heaven, interceding for us, we are for him on earth. And that's why we don't get it when we get it, because those on earth are not displaying it as the fruitfulness that they should, that we should. And so it says, without us, he is not known on the earth right. He needed his disciples to go forth and to disciple men as he had discipled them. And that's what the first church did. That's why they got it. They understood it from the very beginning. They were slaves, and they loved it. We are independent and will not be told what to do. And so we don't love it. And so it's so quick for us to either reject him or subject him to what our will is and how we think it should look as Christians, as telling the vine, or as in Scripture clearly says, the pot, the clay, telling the potter how to make it, and also the branch then trying to dictate to the vine how it should look. Yet the vine is communicating to us, and that communication comes to us as we view the fruit of it. We're able to identify, and that's why you can know you by your fruit. So we are identified by what we allow to come through us from him. And there's some things we just refuse.
as he tries to, or as he brings it to our remembrance, Holy Spirit, give us conviction, we reject it. As he gives us correction, we do not accept it. We do not listen to it. We, even worse, we try to reason with it, give excuse for it, justify what we're doing, as opposed to embracing what he is saying with joy, because it means I am now becoming like the vine. This is those that are yoked together. I'm now becoming like the strong one in my union with him, in the yoke of him. This is, and yet that's not what we want. That's not what we seek. That's not what we surrender to until we get, and that's what the other scripture, that fatness, that the light, his light lights our world. Then we see what we had before was darkness, and it was death, and it was fruitlessness and selfishness. And so then we're able to see it, and once that light shines, then we're able to embrace it. And as the author is putting forth and giving, I think it's such a powerful testimony to those saints who surrender their lives to their ministries and put this stuff in writing so that generations to come will get it and have an expectation that is heavenly and divinely inspired, that is enabled, it is enabled divinely with power, because we do look at it first that we think we have to do it. And clearly, it is. It says over and over and over, it is the work of the vine. It is the work of the shepherd. It is the work of the husbandman. It is always their work to bring about our growth and development, not our own. Ours is to surrender in a loving relationship to the care and love that someone has for us, and that someone is God. He so loved us that he gave his very best so that we would know his best, and, you know, literally know his best, who is Christ. You need to know him, and then to know his only job in heaven is us. And so I saw that. I go, well, no, I don't know. And it's like the world has already been created. It has already been formed. Now he has redeemed it. So that redeemed world is his bride. It is his bride. So his whole existence is in perfecting his bride, taking care of his bride, teaching his bride. Protecting his bride, sharing with his bride, bestowing upon his bride honors and treasures. So he's revealing these things. That's what the vine is communicating. Yes. Yes. Right here. So that's what the vine is communicating to the branch. It says, there is more. Neither branch, neither vine nor branch is anything without the other. So it is neither, so is neither anything except for the other. So in other words, he is who he is as we reflect him on earth. Otherwise, man would not have access to the knowledge that brings about, I want to make sure I say this right, the perfecting of the saints. They would not know if they did not see and hear and be taught that perfecting process. And so God, Christ tells God, the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, And he that believeth on me, the work that I do shall he also do, and greater works shall he do. All his fullness and all his riches, they're in us, the believer. For the vine does not live for itself, but it keeps nothing for itself, but exists only for the branches. And so then when you look at the process that happens naturally with the vine, and the vine does not bear fruit. It is the branches of the vine that bears the fruit. So if the vine, when the vine gets the nourishment from the roots and it gets the water and all of the substance that's necessary, then it's necessary for the branches. It is whole purpose of the vine is to provide for the branches so that fruit can come forth, and it is from the fruit that that vine is reproduced. So if the fruit does not come forth, that vine will never reproduce itself. In other words, it will stop, it won't continue, because the continuation of life comes out of the fruit. And so when you see that process, that vine works hard for it, not for itself, but for the branches. And so it really becomes it's a cycle of life, but it is a, flow. It is a flow that continues throughout all creation, because it is for the continuation of creation. And that is a concept that we don't often have in the forefront of our minds, because we think of a here, now, me, and mine. But we need to expand as we get a renewed mind, our thinking, as these authors did. I mean, they authored this not just for themselves for that season, but for us in this season. Some of the authors are long since gone. Paul is long since gone, but he has left fruit through the word so that Christ might be known, so that Christ might be embraced and understood, so that he would have his people that God had given him because of ministry that was upon the disciples to obey and then establish what would look like the vine through the fruit that they would grow and develop and share with one another. Insights, input.
Okay, I have a question. So
yeah,
so God, Jesus is the vine. The branches the branches are the teachers, disciples, prophets, the ministry,
the saints. The saints, all saints.
All saints are the branches, but the fruit.
Yes.
Pardon me.
Yes.
Okay, but the fruit. Mm-hmm. The fruit is when we are passing the word on, bringing more people to Christ, right?
That's a wonderful question. The fruit
is us doing that God's work.
Is the character of God manifesting itself through us. through our kindness, through our love, through our faith, through our long suffering, we become like Christ. And then the world knows Christ because they become acquainted with the new element that our life now produces. So because of that, then if you want to look at it that way, what we end up doing is bringing more branches to the vine. Because the branches are the redeemed. They're those that are saved. So our fruit brings branches. Yes. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful.
So when we're bringing, when more people are coming to Christ, and they're showing the fruit because they're being like Christ, so that's the fruit, right? Is that what we're saying?
Yes, exactly. Okay. What we're saying is that we are the living invitation.
Right, okay.
Okay. Christ gave the original. Then he needed other people. He needed someone else. He needed other people to give that invitation. Like, I invite you, now I need you to go invite someone. Okay? So what we're doing as branches, what we produce is something, will be the reputation of the vine, so that when we give the invitation on behalf of the vine, it is his reputation that will draw branches to want to disconnect from where they are. Remember, they're somewhere else. They want to disconnect.
Okay.
They want to break that connection. They want to be taken by the invitation and put into this new branch, a new vine. I'm sorry, the new vine. So what we're doing is our fruit, the fruit meaning our character, our reputation, our good name, as it mirrors that of Christ, will draw other branches to want to disconnect and become a part of our vine and produce fruit like that. Because what it's saying is the things that come out of our lives are more powerful, more to be desired than that which is coming out of their lives. Think of it as they're on a tree that's shriveling up. It's dying. Mm-hmm. It isn't producing anything. It is withering. It's full of disease. It's full of insects. It's very undesirable. And so they see another vine. They see another branch. But wow, on that branch, I see some great stuff. You know, I see love and I see peace and I see calm, and all of these things are beautiful fruit on this branch. I want to be a branch like that branch. I don't want to be connected to this vine. I want to go and be connected to that vine so that I can look like that, because the fruit is our cloak. It is it's what clothes us. It's what covers us. It's what beautifies us, because it's Christ. And so it brings beauty to how we look. Think of it as the sheep, with the shepherd. This good shepherd sheep look good. The bad shepherd sheep look horrible, and they look with envy into the pasture of these really, healthy, happy, peaceful sheep. Right, so they're looking on that. They want to go there. It is not because of the shepherd. They don't see the shepherd and say, well, I choose that shepherd. They see the sheep and say, I want what they have. And so it's the branches that see branches and decide, oh, I want to look like that branch, because that branch is beautiful. You know, it is not twisted and distorted and all diseased and polluted. That branch is strong. It's full of beauty. It's full of fragrance. It is pleasant for all of the senses. Okay? It is, the fruit smells good, tastes good, looks good, is good. Okay?
Right.
And so that's what
Yes. There's that cloak that we put on, that robe of righteousness, which is the elements and the personality and the characteristics of Christ that they see. So it's, you know, it's like a fashion show of branches. And our fashion looks a lot better than what they don't have to wear. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to say, excuse me, I was just going to say the writer in the book, it says, Jesus is indeed to me the true vine, bearing me, nourishing me, supplying me, using me, and filling me to the full to make me bring forth fruit abundantly. Then I will not fear to say, I am indeed a branch to Jesus, the true vine, abiding in him, resting on him, waiting for him, serving him, and living only that through me he may show forth the riches of his grace and give his fruit to a perishing world. So,
wow, that's,
as he was saying, you know, what he gives and develops in us, and we in turn give it to those that are perishing.
And overseer and elder, I got the same thing. I was just, hello? Okay, I was just going to comment about the same thing that she was saying when I read that. It's, and Elder Roberta was reading it. I thought the same thing, that it's like each one reach one. Once you get what God has given you, you're supposed to, like a disciple, go out and give back. Will it be like salvation, leading others to what you know that God has given you, and bringing others to Christ by his fruit? Is that the same thing?
Well, see, and that's why that's where it becomes just a little dicey, because when you say give to, we need to understand what that means. Okay, we cannot give them peace. We cannot give them long suffering. We cannot give them. We cannot give them love. Okay, because love comes from God. We can. What do I want to say? It's not so much that we share. It's who we are. So what we're doing is the experience. They get to experience that love. They get to experience that peace. Not personally, they get to witness it, because they can't have it personally until they come to the vine.
All they're doing is
looking at what it looks like on our life. And so it's not so much a sermon we preach, it is a lesson we teach by living. And how do we teach? We teach it by when they start to so-and-so call you or so-and-so, and I saw you pray for her. That's how you give them long suffering. It's something they can experience. They witness. They are a witness to all of the fruit in you. Just like I said, it's like a dentist on a tree looking at what is on another tree, okay, and wanting what they see coming out of that branch. That branch can't give them anything. It can only allow them to witness who they are, the single branch. So I cannot give to a dead branch on an oak tree an apple. But if you cut that branch off the oak tree, put it on the vine where that apple is, pain because it saw something, it liked what it saw, and it wanted to be a part of it. So you hurt a word. How can some? They have to hear. They have to see. They have to see. And then they have to believe what they see. They have to believe that fruit on that branch came from that vine. And that's what they then come to the vine, not as a branch. And that's probably where people mess up. They go to where they saw it. Looking for the branch to be about their life, and the branch cannot. It must be the vine that does it. And so they don't mind just laying on beside you because you got it, and they think, oh, I'll get it to you. No, it won't come to you from a bench. It only comes to you from the vine. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
and we have to view, and that's why we keep thinking, oh, I. Yes?
Okay. It keeps the connection or is kind of bad, but just what I'm thinking what you're just saying now again. So, people look at us. Yes, we're the branch, right? And so people are looking at us, and they're wanting
hold on,
to.
Hold on.
No.
Your phone
okay.
is breaking up.
Yeah. It's not a good connection
say it
today.
Again.
It's not a good connection today for some reason.
Yes, it is terrible, but we're gonna go.
Right. When people look at us and they want to be a part of the branch, a fuller branch, or the love that they, well, because you say we can't give, did you say we can't give them love? Hello?
We can't say that again.
Okay. Did you say we can't?
Said we what?
We cannot give them love. We can't show other. I mean, we show
we
other people.
Them. Yes, we can love them.
We love them, but is that to them showing they're being shown love?
Yes. So they're witnessing.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So they're seeing the love and the peace and the joy that's on our lives or the
yes.
faith that we have.
Yes.
And so that's bringing forth. Is that bringing forth more fruit that to become vines? Did you understand?
No. There's only one. I understand what you're saying.
Only one vine, right?
The only place fruit comes from.
Uh-huh.
Is from a branch in the vine that is Christ.
Right.
Until they get in Christ, they can witness, it becomes soft fruit. They can try to emulate it. They can try to imitate it. It is not real. It will not last and it will not produce what they desire. It is false. It's only real. Once you become engrafted into the vine that has the original element that they're looking for, the love, the peace, joy. Originally, the only place you're going to find it is in the vine. And that's why he says, if we as branches with fruit, connected thinking, we can do this ourselves. We wither and die. Fruit will be dead. It will not have substance because it is not connected to the vine. And so we cannot produce fruit in other people. The only place fruit can be produced is through the sap, the life, and the sadness of the vine. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy
right.
Spirit, that is the only place this power of fruit can come forth. And so our fruit can only be the advertisement, if you will. I don't want to use that word.
Oh.
It can only be our fruit in real. And ours is just like if you look at somebody's house and you see them at the table, they're eating, wonderful family, but that's in that house. You're not in that house. That is not your family, and that is not food. That is their food. And it's only
right.
when you come into the house, into the vine, will you be able to participate in that family sitting down at that supper. And the things that are on their table will there be a part will be yours as well. But until you come in the house or in the vine, you can only look at it. You can only long for it, desire it, and the Holy Spirit drawing you, that's our fruit, draws them to our
okay.
vine.
Okay.
So, if the vine, they will then produce fruit. Yes. Yes.
So, wow, this makes so much sense now. So, when the end when of that 39 paragraph, when it goes into that, is that that's basically saying what you just said. Then, I don't know if would they have the book, but. When it says, and then we try thus to understand the meaning of the parable, that the blessed command spoken in connection with it will come to us in its true power. And that's the thought of what the vine is to the branch and Jesus to the believer will give new force to the word abide in me. It will be as if he says, think so. How completely I belong to you. I have joined myself inseparably to you, all the fullness and fatness that abide in yours indeed. And now once you are in me, be assured that all I have is wholly yours. It is my interest and my honor to have you to be a fruitful branch. Only abide in me. Because you are weak, but I am strong. You are poor, but I am weak. And only abide in me. Yield yourself wholly to my teaching and rule. Simply trust my love, my grace, my promise. Only believe I am wholly yours. I am the vine, and you are the branch abiding in me. So all that is saying what you were saying, basically, that we're not giving, it's our light shining, and it's making other people join to be part of the branch through the one vine, right? Or no?
Yes. Our fruit will draw them to our vine. As branches,
okay.
They will be drawn to our vine. They want to disconnect from where they are, and be planted in or be engrafted into our vine because they like the way we look and the way we act, the way we talk. But we can't give it to them. And I know you say, well, we can't give them love. We can love them, but if you ever notice, you cannot give a God love to a person
right.
that doesn't know God because they cannot. They cannot receive it. It's impossible.
Right.
Now, they may benefit from it, but it most times they don't even understand it, and they don't want it. not a love. Now, kindness, everybody wants kindness. I understand that. And they want to experience it. But most people do not want to be kind the way Christ was kind. You know, that's why we read some of the means of what kind really means or what gentle means. Gentle means, you know, not defending yourself. Okay? You know, and so it's not, it really is a concept that as he illustrated it through a vine and branch. And I know that, like, saying, okay, with the fruit falls and you can pick the fruit in the tree and you can eat the fruit. And they make your love. They will use it. Oh, they ever use it. Okay. But they won't become it. They may eat of your long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But they do not come long suffering. Because you cannot produce it in another person. Only the vine can produce it because it comes from the vine. What the vine gave us turns into fruit. So that's all there is. It turns into fruit. It doesn't make us vine. Now I'm a vine like you're a vine. No, there's only the vine. Everything the vine puts into the branch comes mm-hmm. out the branch as fruit.
Right,
as
okay.
fruit from the vine. And as it comes out as fruit, people may use it, but they don't become that fruit. They just reap the benefit of that fruit. They like the way it feels and tastes, and want to come back for more, and we will always produce things as long as we are always in the vine.
Right.
So the only
okay.
way the person who is partaking of the fruit, not even the fruit, is the fruit of Christ, is fruitless. When they long for it, they have to go to the source of it, which is not us. It is the
right.
vine.
It's the vine. Okay. Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful
yeah.
inquiry, because that's what I did out. You know, and that's what uncovers the error of our thinking, because we think us. I go in our kitchen and it'll do it. It's not your preaching that does it. Your preaching, if you think of it, it's a seed that is planted.
Man.
That Holy
okay.
Spirit has to
right.
nurture in the soil that it goes. Okay? It's a seed.
Right.
And unless you allow that seed to grow,
mm-hmm.
nothing is going to come from the word, like your condemnation. Because you had it and you could. And you didn't desire, so therefore you didn't come to the vine being grafted so that you can have that fruit. And these are different elements, and I hope you guys can hear me better than I'm hearing you. Huh?
No, you're
okay.
It's still really...
But I hope it's clear.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Oh. Okay. It's still really kind of choppy, but I think I do have it now. The fruit is what they're looking at, which is. But for them to be,
mm-hmm.
They have to be grafted in. They have to come to Christ, you know, to be grafted in so that they'll have that same, the same things that God promised to us. you know,
right. So even though we love mm-hmm. people, I mean, they see our love, and maybe they want to be, you know, share their love to somebody else. So, but to do that, they have to be grafted in amongst the branches, which is they have to be Christ-like. They have to believe in God. Is that okay?
That's good. I'm writing your number down, and you're going to call to get a good connection. Elder Roberta, you have my number, and Minister Pepper, her phone keeps dropping. So it really is just a horrible connection thing. That's okay. The enemy is not going to win. So
right.
I'm going to end Blog Talk, and I'm going to call you on the phone. Is that okay?
You said you're going to end Blog Talk? You're going to end it today?
Okay.
No,
what did
you say you're
going to
do?
We're going to end it today.
She's
going to
end
Blog Talk. You in.
Okay, I'm sorry.
She's going to end Blog Talk, and then she's going to be on the phone.
I'm
going to
end Blog Talk.
Oh, no, you know, no. Right.
Okay, I still didn't get it.
You can call me, and I can. Okay, I'm going to call you, no problem. But we thank everyone for coming to sharing with us some Blog Talk. I don't know how the archive session is going to sound. I do just want to end it now with prayer that God will release his truth over the airways in a way that the world will receive it, they will hear it, they will receive it with clarity, with spiritual understanding, and power of it will bring about change in their thinking, in their lives, and in their spirit. And we thank God because we believe in the power of one in whom we serve is greater than anything. And we thank and praise God in Jesus' name.